Hey, hey, happy Monday, everybody. Another week, another show, another daily podcast here. It's day for this Monday, June 4th. How you doing? Got all the best stuff right here for you. Most people pour milk on their cereal, but today we poured gasoline and lit it up with a match as the cereal debate raged in the 6 o'clock hour. Find out where the audience stood when it comes to throwing fruit on your cereal and which kind is worthy for it. Did you hear about BOFA? Well, horse racing fans certainly did, and there's a new fashion trend out there that is a massive taboo involving the makers of Crocs and socks. Cindy Graham was there, of course, to weigh in on our stupid fashion break. The Veterans Radiothon is fast approaching. It's on June 15th, and we need every ounce of support out there. John shared some info with you today, and we talked to a veterans advocate and documentarian about supporting our local vets. And it's Monday morning, so we rounded up the stupid and thinned the herd with a theme today. It was car-themed for Thin the Herd. Have a listen. Let's do this thing right here, right now. It is the Daily Podcast.
Did Bam Bam have a cereal? Did Bam Bam ever have a cereal? We're talking about Cocoa Pebbles.
I'm sure he did.
Are we talking... I don't think so.
He may have been on
One of the Pebbles.
He might have been on the box, but he didn't have his own cereal. He never really got far in life anyway. All right, 53 degrees outside, cloudy, becoming mostly sunny today, with the temperature getting up to about 74 degrees.
He did? Bam Bam Berry Pebbles.
Bam Bam Berry Pebbles.
Yes, thanks to Post.
Never heard of
that. Thank you, Post.
Thank you, Post. All right, you know. Well, to me, you know, you want to have a university, you got to have some good cereal. All right? All of this came about because I said that I've been on a fruit and cereal kick the past few weekends. Uh-huh. All right, and Steve asked, what'd you put them on? I said, well, I put them on cornflakes. Because I can't imagine putting fruit on a flavored cereal.
I disagree.
All right,
I'm with you on this, John.
You could.
I don't put whipped cream on my candy.
All right, listen, I'm not talking about putting fruit in your Cocoa Pebbles, your Fruity Pebbles, your Cocoa Puffs. Frosted Flakes, yes.
Okay, I can see that. That's not overbearingly sweet.
Right. Okay.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
No.
Yep.
Now you're starting to lose
me. No.
Screw you guys.
I don't know.
Banana, strawberries, whatever.
No, you're making
me sucks. If we make this a text poll later on this morning, you're going to lose brutally.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Looks like the challenge is on. Okay, so this started just before we got on the air. And I was talking about how I have taken to, for some reason, I missed it. I used to really love having, you know, cereal with fruit on it, you know, making that, my Saturday or Sunday breakfast. So I decided to bring it back. And I went out and I got some cornflakes, and I threw some strawberries, some raspberries on it. I was having the time of my life for breakfast yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. Right? And when I brought this up, Steve asked, what cereal do you use? And I said, well, I went with cornflakes. Because I really think that if you're going to put fruit on, you know, on cereal, you got to go with a plain cereal, you know. And I'll give you maybe Frosted Flakes. You can get away with that one, right? But your Corn Flakes, your Rice Krispies, those kind of Chex things, right? That would work too.
Right.
That would. But a plain cereal. I don't. You know. Even puffed rice. Right.
Oh, would work.
With fruit cereal with fruit. Right. But Steve believes that sugary cereals could handle fruit as well. And I can't see Cinnamon Toast Crunch and strawberries. It just makes sense.
Why limit yourself? I mean, I'm limiting myself to the plain ones. It's not overpowering.
It's too much. Like, Lucky Charms is sweet enough. I don't need to sweeten it up even more.
Exactly.
I don't even drink, you know, flavored whiskey anymore.
All right. Yeah, well, it's because now you're a man.
Exactly. It's very childish, having the sugar on sugar.
Right, right. And it's not even a matter of the sugar on sugar. It's like, you know, why you guys...
Hold on a minute.
Who would slice a banana? Who would slice a banana on top of Fruity Pebbles?
It's very childish. I'm ignoring that just to go back. It's very childish to put sugar on fruit on sugar.
Yeah.
Stop.
No.
Just eating cereal in general is a childish act anyway.
No, it's not.
He's kind of got a point.
You know what?
This is why I don't eat
it. Damn it.
I'm a man.
I've already cast the first vote to beat you guys. We're currently winning sugary.
You already voted?
I voted, damn it.
I'm erasing that vote.
Don't limit yourself. You can do fruit on sugary cereals.
Sure you can. It's just a little much. It's a little much.
Being overpowered. You're stupid.
folks.
He just boiled down his argument.
Right. Like the child that he is. Okay. You can tell who's the youngest one on the show. All right. So if you believe that fruit should go on plain cereals, text one to MGK, MGK. If you think that you could eat sugary cereals with fruit on top of it, right, text two to MGK, MGK. As we already know, there's one vote for sugary already.
It's 100 to nothing.
100 to nothing.
It's 100 to nothing right now. So the MGK, MGK is where you send it. One for plain, two for sugary. Cindy, before we get to the answer for the text poll, where do you stand on this? Fruit on cereal. Should it be on plain cereal or on sugary cereal?
Steve could not be more wrong on this.
I'm not surprised. You have like 40 cats. I don't trust your answer.
And they all texted in for plain.
That's right. They all texted. They don't want anything to do with that sugary cereal.
That's for sure. All right, let's go.
Instant.
It's quick, easy.
Instantly.
Right now.
Instant gratification.
Survey says
that when it comes to putting fruit on cereal, 73% of our respondents believe plain is the way to go.
Boring, and that's so typical that they would go with you and Dave.
Well, you know what?
I'm just going to keep living my best life while you guys eat your cardboard with fruit on top of it.
Okay, all right. Look, I know
and
you feel
bore
bad.
Me to death.
I could tell by the way you're reacting. You're feeling bad. So here, why don't you have a croissant?
Oh, they actually look awesome.
Oh my God.
I hate the way you're saying it.
I'm on Steve's side all of a sudden.
Yes. And it's spelled correctly with two S's.
Right. And the I, which makes it croissant.
Well, the CR makes it crook. Right?
But you got to use the I before you get to the R.
So. Well, why? That would be CIR.
I'm not doing this with him, Cindy. Wow. I'm just not doing this with him.
It's such a Monday.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Of course, you know this means war.
102.9.
Slaughter all who stand in our way.
MGK.
I learned something new from Steve this morning that I did not understand. This is the old man, you know, doing his best to stay hip with the millennial language.
Okay.
And I turned to Steve and I said, what's BOFA all about?
BOFA.
And again, explain it.
BOFA is a way to enter into someone then saying, what do you mean BOFA? And you go, BOFA, these nuts!
BOFA, these nuts.
Yes. Right. That's right. How
it's
you
like
would
the
respond.
New D's.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, and you're supposed to like swing your arms down
when
you
do whatever
it.
You want. A lot
BOFA
of it happens
these
on,
nuts.
A lot of it happens on Twitter.
Okay.
Primarily by Juan Eagles writer.
Right. Not only on Twitter.
Where else?
Sometimes it happens at horse races.
What?
Right, horse races in Oklahoma City. Okay. On Friday night.
It's a classy place for this.
On Friday night, ladies and gentlemen, right, there was a horse race. And,
yes.
And Buffa These Nuts was in it.
They're off. Good start. Cage fighter, Buffa These Nuts, they come away together. Buffa These Nuts goes for the front. Has it by a long neck. Cage fighter not going away easily. And DF Dynasty 3 Green right there running third outside. Bang, bang, you're gone, making some headway. Final 100 yards for both of these nuts. Cage fighter trying to battle back. Both of these nuts. Cage fighter, both of these nuts rolling to victory by a head over Cage fighter.
Yeah. By the way, how he won, it just makes it all great.
The John DiBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
So a company in New York called Alfie just teamed up with the Crocs people to make luxury Crocs. All right. Now, they look exactly like regular Crocs, except like, you know, like they come in some colors that you didn't have before. Like there's this white pair. Right. I want you to go to the Facebook page because they're sitting right there because they're a very special pair of Crocs.
This is so weird.
Right. That already have tube socks, right, sewn into them.
Or something.
All right. So you know, it's bad enough that you're wearing, you know, socks with sandals, but you're wearing socks with sandals and the socks are glued into the sandals.
They doubled down big time.
All right. You ready for this? Nice. You can have those lovely Crocs with socks for $140.
What?
$140. And they don't go on sale till next week, so you'll have to pre-order through alfienewyork.com, right? Or if you want, you could simulate it, by getting a pair of Crocs and getting a pair of socks and just wearing the two together.
Right, save $100.
$100 for sure.
The great thing about these is it guarantees celibacy.
Right, yes.
Yeah, these are big in parishes.
Right.
The nuns, the priests, they love them.
Maybe you should get these for your daughters. Right? Talk about safe sex. This is no sex.
The John DeBella Podcast.
It's like squishing a spider under a book.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
It's going to be really gross, but I have to look and make sure that it's really dead.
102.9 MGK.
We are just about 2 weeks away from the Veterans Radiothon coming up June 15th in the National Constitution Center. We will be outside of the center all day long from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., along with a host of other things that will be going on. The auction, you know, each year we do the auction this year. Yep. The auction has been put together with the fine folks at Philly Pops, and our thanks for that. Starting Wednesday, the 9th, all right? The 6th? Right, yes. Right,
this
Wednesday, so it's ten days. Right, you could start your bidding. Some of the things that are going to be up for bids. Let's just talk about concert tickets. All right, front row tickets for every one of these shows I'm about to mention. Front row tickets for Billy Joel, for Ozzy, for Jeff Lynne's ELO, for Fleetwood Mac, for the Eagles, for Phil Collins, and for Jimmy Buffett. We have front row tickets for each of those shows that you could be bidding on and maybe walking away with, and at the same time helping out the veterans. You know, over the years, we have told you lots of stories about stuff that the VMC does and how they help men and women who are coming out of the services get the things that they are owed. You know, that was the deal, folks. You know, they went in, they volunteered, they went in, they took the job on, they put their lives on the line. And when they came out, they were supposed to be supplied with certain things, and a lot of them aren't getting them. And they're not getting them a lot of the times because they just can't work their way through the mess, through the bureaucracy that is the Veterans Administration. And you know what? Remember all those stories about the veterans hospitals?
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't improved at all.
No, I believe
Has
it.
Not improved at all. And we spent some time with a guy named Corey Rowe. We were talking to him about a movie. He's a documentarian, right? A movie he's made called My Mile Marker. Mm-hmm. Where is it 9,000 miles? Or do you think it was 7,000 miles?
7,000
miles. Traveled around the country. This is a guy who had spent time in Iraq and Afghanistan, right? Traveled around the country talking to a lot of the guys that he served with. Every one of these people with PTSD, mm-hmm. All right? And just to see this film, Mile Marker, and see what these men and women went through, you know, I realized when we talked to him that we talk about PTSD all the time. I said, but a lot of people don't really understand what it is, and I asked him to explain it to us. When we talk to people about PTSD ourselves, most people don't really understand it. Do you have a brief and easy way to explain what PTSD is?
PTSD manifests in several different ways, but one way that works so that I can explain it to you is, for me, traffic is my trigger. Uh-huh. So I live in L.A., and when I get stuck in traffic, I start to feel unsafe. And that's because while I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, we were often ambushed while in traffic. So a veteran who's been in combat, his adrenaline level is already 3 or 4 times higher than the normal person. And then you get into a situation where they get triggered and their fight or flight response kicks in. And for me, in this situation, I get very aggravated. I get agitated. I hit the steering wheel. I honk. I yell at people. I try to cut around corners or cut down alleyways to get around traffic so that I can get back to my AO, my assembly area, where I feel safe. This is, for me, my PTSD. And without education, without understanding these triggers, I can be a very nasty person. And people with PTSD can simply be labeled a problem because they drink too much or they're an a-hole, for lack of a better term. And this is just because that person hasn't been properly educated about what's going on in their mind. They don't know that their adrenaline levels are up. They don't know that they're getting triggered. They don't know what a fight or flight response is. That is what the documentary Mile Marker hopes to do, is I hope to show veterans with PTSD, hey, man, you're not unique. Your problems are not unique. And here's a whole bunch of people that are dealing with stuff like you, and they made it better by doing X, Y, and Z.
And the wild thing is the government there's no detox program for people who are coming out of war situations, right? There's nothing to tell them, look, these are the kind of things that you might encounter. This is the kind of stuff that could happen to you. There's no plan. There's no plan whatsoever. And this is, again, where the VMC comes through. So please, on the 15th, or if you want right now, you can go to WMGK.com, put in the keyword veterans, and you can make a secure online donation. Start collecting up on the job site. Start collecting up at your office, wherever it may be, because every dollar is going to count. And the majority of the money we raise comes from you, our listeners.
The John DiBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Send the herd. Send the herd.
And as I said today, all automotive stories, somehow a car is involved in every story we have this morning. And this happened just yesterday in Canton, Ohio. Police had received several calls about a guy who was driving down the street on only three tires. All right. It's not clear what happened to the fourth tire, but it was missing from the front side of the car, from the right-hand side of the car. He was just had a wheel on the ground and three tires. By the time the cops tracked him down, his car had totally broken down, snapped in the front, right, just gone, right? The guy turned out to be 28-year-old Joshua Milkovich, right, who was, believe it or not, drunk, all right? And where did he have to go so drunk?
Liquor store?
Little Caesars.
Oh, of course. Naturally.
When you need a pizza, you need a pizza. All right, he was arrested for operating a vehicle while intoxicated.
In the herd.
Over to you, Steve.
All right, a police officer in Texas was performing what he thought was just a routine traffic stop because he noticed a Honda Accord that was following another car way too close, so he thought a simple tailgating ticket might be in order. Then he saw his drug dogs go on alert. And he knew something else was amiss.
Okay.
Turns out that this Accord was hauling what ended up being 71 pounds of meth.
Oh, my God.
That is a street value of about $2 million.
Oh.
The massive drug find was being stored in a modified gas tank inside the car. Nathan Leon Fields now being held on $70,000 bond.
In the herd.
Over to you, Dave.
All right, I get that we're coming out of what feels like 8 months of winter.
Right.
And a lot of people have forgotten how to handle the extreme heat, but this is truly idiotic. And it ironically happened in a place called Braintree, Massachusetts.
Okay.
The cops there pulled someone over last week for driving with their big cardboard sunshade covering the entire windshield. They didn't take it off. Instead, the person driving just peeked through the little crack at the top and continued to drive. It got cited for dangerous driving.
In the herd.
Lastly this morning, cops in Waukesha, Wisconsin, got into a high-speed chase with a woman last week where she was going 85 miles an hour through a construction zone. She actually got away and then ditched the car and ran. Well, the cops found her cell phone in the car, and it belonged to a 37-year-old woman named Diana Warkall. But when they went to her house, she said it wasn't her. She had left her phone in the car, yes, right? But no, she wasn't driving in the chase. She said someone who looks exactly like her must have stolen the car and gotten into the chase with the cops. And she said it happens all the time. People always mix her up with other women. And for some strange reason, the cops weren't buying the doppelganger story, right? And Diana was arrested and charged with attempting to flee and driving with a suspended license. She could be in prison for 3.5 years.
In the herd.
The John DiBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.